Hello, this is Jensen Franklin, and thank you so much for joining us for this week's podcast. Our goal is to provide you with biblically based teachings that will challenge, inspire, and equip you to live for Jesus. If you haven't already, I'd love for you to go ahead and subscribe today to this podcast so you can get the latest updates from us and you don't ever have to miss a new message. Let's go right into the service. Recorded at Free Chapel. I believe it's going to bless you today. Open your Bibles with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 4, and then we're going to quickly go to Ezekiel chapter 27. And I want to share with you something different. And I believe, though it is a word that everybody in this room can use, I want God to use me. I don't know about you, but I'm still available. Think of Isaiah when God needed somebody. He said, "Here am I, send me." And so today I want to talk to you about how God wants to use you in two ways that he wants to use you. In the church, in your family, in your business, in life in general, these two areas that I'm going to talk about God using people, you may find yourself absolutely being used mightily of God if you'll be open to what I'm going to share. The first one is in 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verse 23, and this is what it says. It says, "There were the potters." Everybody say the potters. "And they were the ones who dwelt among plants and hedges. There they dwelt with the king for his work." If you read that verse in its entirety, that I wouldn't take time to do, but it lists all these important people, these powerful people, these mighty people, things that they were doing that were so incredible and visible and notable and awestruck things that they were able to do. And right toward the end of it, I love that the Word of God notices simply the potters. And notice they dwelt among plants. They were in the background. If you wouldn't even know they were there, you could just see their ball cap working behind the shrubbery, or they were among the plants and the hedges, kind of hid. And then the other verse that I want to share is in Ezekiel 27, the ancients of Jabal, "And the wise men thereof were in thy caulkers." And then he starts talking about the ships. Strange that the Bible's so detailed. Many times when we think about people that God uses, we think about the heroes, Abraham and Isaac and Samson and David, the mighty Gideon, the powerful Deborah and Esther, and there's only one Esther and one Deborah and one Abraham. You just don't see multitudes of people like them. Their faith can almost intimidate us. Their achievements can almost make us feel like we could never measure up to the greatness that those men and women have reached. But there are many also unsung heroes in the background, in the shadows of scriptures. As a matter of fact, anytime you see any of these great men or women that I just mentioned in the forefront, in the limelight, on the stage of life, doing something that is affecting history and multitudes of people, there's other people who are in the shadows and in the background that you may not be aware of. And I thank God that he uses us all to do his will. And in the text that I read, there's a potters that are mentioned that dwelt with the king. Without the potters, certain things would not have. He was preparing a huge party. He was having the most honored guests coming from all over the world. But he takes time to mention, the scripture does, the potters, the people who took clay and water and formed vessels that could be used to serve the food and make basins that would hold the candles to give light to the king's palace. And they made the cups and the chalices that the wine would be poured in. The king would not be able to entertain the guest and change their lives with his presence if it was not for people who did what they could do with their hands in the hedges and among the plants. They were never in the dining room. They were never in the palace. They were never in the bright lights. They were just potters. And then he talks about ships, and he's saying that it's the caulkers. You know what a caulker is? Do y'all know what a caulker is? How many of you know what a caulking is? Yeah. The one who seals up, takes sealant and seals up sheetrock or seals up a boat if it starts to leak. And God says these people are worth mentioning and immortalizing in the scripture. It's interesting that when you read the Bible, you begin to see that Israel, when they would move forward to take the promised land, there were 12 tribes, and the first tribe that was commanded every time God set an order, and they had to follow the strict order, that when they were moving into new territory, it was the tribe of Judah that went first, and Judah means praise. So when Judah goes first, when Judah goes out first, then victory. When Judah's on the way, victory's on the way. And when Judah would go, everybody would see that they're coming into the promised land and they're doing great things. But I've often thought about the second or the third or the fourth tribe. And maybe after a few hours, after, you know, everybody made a big deal about Judah. And Judah is the praise. They're the worshipers. They're the singers. They're the people on the platform. They're the people that everybody sees. But what about that pitiful 12th tribe? 7 hours later, there's only a few people still clapping, and they're showing up, and it's the tribe of Dan. But it's important that somebody has to be in the back of the line. Somebody has to be back there for the weak and the feeble and the worn out, the stragglers that are about to give up. Somebody has to be at the back of the line saying, you can't quit, you can't give up, you can't fail here. Get up and keep going. You're going to make it. And I thank God for the people in the back of the line. We need people. We need Danites in the church, in this church, who are encouragers to people who are about to fall out of the way. Encouraging your family to not give up. Encouraging people. Everybody is important in the kingdom, not just the preacher, not just the singer. You're important to revival. You're important to soul winning. You're important to what happened in this building with millions of people being reached the last 2 weeks through the revival. You played a part in that. Some of you are unnamed and nobody knows what you did. But I told them in the first service, and I'm going to say it in this service, the only reason we were able to have that kind of revival and touch that many people is because there are people who didn't even get to come to the revival, but they're traveling all over the world, going here, going there. They do business, and they're out working hard, and they give, and they help us do what we do. And we wouldn't have had that kind of revival. We wouldn't have buildings like this. We wouldn't have anything. But they do it in obscurity. They do it behind the hedges. They do their part. I can't sing, I can't preach, but here's the part I can do. I know how to build a business, and I know how to tithe off that business, and you keep doing what you're doing, and I'll hold down the back here in the shadows, and God will see it, and God will get the glory. Hallelujah. We did not win those souls just on the pulpit. Amen. Every single person is important. And God said, I want there to be two kinds of people always present in families, in homes, and in churches. I want potters. Potters. Potters who begin to take the next generation, your children, your family, and you put your hands on them. The potter's job was to find the clay. And once he found the clay, he would begin to mold that clay. He would take water and he would begin to smooth out the clay and get the lumps out and put it on the wheel. and he would begin to work and make that clay into a vessel that could be used at the king's table. Who are the potters? The potters are youth workers in the church that see young people, and man, their moms and dads who still believe in their teenagers when they mess up, because they will do dumb things. And they'll do it over, and they'll do it over, and they'll do it over and over again. But you just keep putting your hands on them. You're the potter in their life, and you keep shaping them, and you keep molding them, and you keep pouring into them. You keep believing in them, and you keep encouraging them. Don't you give up on them. You keep loving them. You keep telling them you're special. I'm telling you, God's got his hand on your life. We're called to be potters. I couldn't help, but during the revival, I was so moved. I can't hardly talk about it because I still get emotional about it. I'm not over the revival. I'm warning you now. I am not over the revival. It has continued with me. I can't shake it. And I think the greatest thing that happened in that revival that I have never seen in all my 40 plus years of ministry is the way that teenagers and young people and college students by the hundreds and thousands, I'm not exaggerating, we had no empty seats, and they would fill the aisles. It didn't matter what Perry preached on. It didn't really matter. There was something so supernatural that young people, and one night we had so many people in overflow, so many people in here that we couldn't not get all the young people in, so we invited them to set up on the stage on their butts, on the hard, because we knew they still had padding. A lot of the old folks don't. So we let them sit up here and sit on the choir deals on the sides, and by the hundreds they were up here. And at the end of that service, the power of God so filled this room that the kids started taking over the service. They were up here and they thought, while we're up here, bless God, we're gonna take over. And it kind of got out of hand, out of our hands into God's hand. And then I found myself jumping with them like I was in a club, like I was in a, I jumped for a solid hour. I danced, they danced around me. Some of them were doing it on the live feed and jumping, and people danced and rejoiced. And the Lord spoke to me and said, that's what I'm doing. I want people, I want moms to be potters. I want dads, look at the clay, look all around you, the potential, the greatness. They don't need to hear how sorry they are. They don't need to hear how bad the things are. They don't need to hear the world's getting worse and worse and there's no hope and no, they need to hear that God saved you for such a time as this. And we're the potters. We've got to mold them. We've got to make them. We've got to make them into worshipers. Make them into church lovers. Make them into tithers. Move into them. Teach them the principles. Let their minds be formed by godly hands that are speaking life into them. I thought about people who work with youth are potters. Parents are potters. I thought about these musicians are potters, because a great musician, like all these musicians, are great musicians. They're not average. They're not normal. They're above the cut. They could be playing anywhere. But a great musician will see another musician and begin to use that clay and form that clay and say, now let me show you how you move from that chord to this and really fatten things up. And that song, that chord right there will fit right beautifully out of that. That's what a man did to me when I started playing the piano. I couldn't play the piano, and I learned it in one summer. There was a man in my dad's church who played piano, and he just saw the talent. He saw I could play the sax, and he knew I had music in me. And he said, let me teach you some chords. And he showed me three chords, and then he showed me one song, and I played that, and he kept pouring in and said, now take it here. Now let's go to another key. Let me show you how to do this and show you. And it's amazing how that we can raise up a whole nother generation of singers, a whole nother generation of worshipers, a whole nother generation of musicians. You got to do it. We got to do it. We're potters. I thought about business people, that entrepreneur spirit. You don't have to be in the tribe of Judah to be a potter. But what about entrepreneurs? What about people out there who have made it? What about people out there who have built businesses that are astounding and you've got hundreds of employees and God has done great things in your life? But you also ought to be looking, and maybe it's in your own family. Use that gift, that amazing. You think different. You know things that somebody else, you just know it instinctively. Communicate that. Use that. Become a potter. And pour into them and then tell them your story. And don't forget, the only reason I made it was because I started giving and tithing and honoring God. And he began to open the windows of heaven and he blessed me and he favored me. Oh, this isn't a commercial for money. I'm not asking, we're not going to take an offering. You have to give it if you want to give it. I'm telling you, that's how you shape the next generation for greatness. It's a potter. Potters brought light to the king's house. The potter didn't seem very important, but without the position of the potter, there would be no party in the king's house. And somebody said, I don't have to have the limelight. I'll work behind the hedges. But I don't want the party to go out in the king's house. Too many people need to eat from his table, the bread and the wine, the body of Christ. I want that party to keep going. Anybody here love the king's house? I told him in the first service, I just fell in love with Free Chapel again during the revival. I mean, sometimes it just gets weary. Sometimes you just get tired. Sometimes it can just become a job if you let it. But I refuse to let it, and I don't let it become a job ever, but I want you to know that something happened to me in this revival. Something touched me in this revival, and I fell in love with a little church called Free Chapel again. And I said, God, I love this place, and I want to shape young people. I want to mold them. I want to become a potter in so many lives of potential that I was dancing around. We almost started bumping up and slamming into each other. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Quit telling them what they can't do and tell them something they can do. If you speak to the fool in your child, the fool will stand up. If you speak to the king in your child, the king will stand up. And it's up to you to put your hands on them and bless them and watch God raise them up and do things that you couldn't even do. I need you to take a praise break. God, we give you our children again. We give you our grandchildren again. Anoint us to be potters. You know, when you get my age, I don't even care if I preach some big conference. I get invites all the time, but I'd rather raise up two or three anointed preachers like Javon and different ones, and I'd rather see them get up before 20,000 people and preach more than me. Why? Because I've done it, but I get more joy out of seeing them do it. Hallelujah. I don't know where I'm going with this sermon, but I feel like shouting right now. Does anybody believe in the next generation? Does anybody believe God has his hand on the next generation? Does anybody believe the young men will see visions and the old men will dream dreams, and together they will begin to make vessels of honor meet for the master's use? You see, they'll do dumb things, but we can't afford to lose one of our young people. And if we're not going to lose them, we're going to have some people that can't just come and hear from the preacher on the sermon and then go away. Somebody's got to be touching their life all week long, shaping their mentality, shaping their spirit, shaping and molding their way of thinking, seeing. So we need potters. Potters get involved. Potters get involved. Potters get involved in the life of the youth and the next generation. Mold them. God's looking for potters, dads. God's looking for potters, mom. God's looking for potters. A potter says, I can't let you go out in that. Let me shape you a little bit in that area. Let me help you a little bit. You know, those friends, let me, I want to know who, let me look at your phone. Let me see your phone. You ain't got nothing to hide, do you? What are you doing? You're shaping a holy vessel. And then he said, in Ezekiel, he started talking about beautiful ships. I didn't have time to read it. But he said they were expensive and gorgeous and beautiful ships. We'd call them yachts. He said the sails were so expensive, they were made out of material, the best material from Egypt. And the boards of the ship were the cedars from Lebanon that had been imported. And all these gorgeous ships, and he's talking about the captain, and he's talking about the pilot, which is the captain, talking about all these powerful, important people. And then he says, but he also appointed caulkers. Down in the hull of the ship. Nobody sees them. They're not up there with the wheel doing Instagram pictures. They're down in the bottom of the ship. And they're caulkers. Y'all know what a caulker is? Now, they told me, I had never used one of these, and I was trying so hard to get that part off. I wanted to illustrate. I was going to shoot it if it would shoot. I didn't know what it would do. And they said, you cannot do that because if you want to ruin your outfit, I said, oh no, Sharice will kill me. Don't do that. But this is a caulker, right? Is that what it's called? A gun? A caulker gun. And this is what we're supposed to be too. Because it doesn't matter how beautiful the ship is. It doesn't matter how beautiful the marriage is. It doesn't matter how beautiful the home is. It doesn't matter how beautiful of a life you've built. You better learn that you have to have caulking. Because they understood the ship is beautiful and it's what we build is incredible, but it has to be maintained. And so they had people down in the bottom of the ship, and all they did was look at the cedars of Lebanon, and they looked at those boards, and every once in a while it would begin to seep with water, and they would caulk it, seal it. They would seal it up from leaking. They would seal it up. Because they understood that if the ship starts taking on water, it doesn't matter how beautiful it looks outwardly. If it's leaking on the inside, it's a matter of time before it goes down. The caulkers were men, wise men in the ship. And they said, oh no, this ship is going somewhere. And so I need to stop the seeping of things from coming in. That's what happened to Noah. God told him to pitch it, pitch the ark on the outside and the inside. In other words, I want you to pitch it. I want you to caulk it on the outside to keep some bad stuff from coming in. But I also want you to caulk it on the inside to keep the good stuff from going out. And we've heard a lot about caulking on the outside so that the bad stuff can't get in. And I'm all for that. Sometimes you need to go through and you need to caulk what's on the internet, what's coming in, what's on the TV, what's coming in, what kind of music is coming in, what kind of friends are coming in. You need to caulk that. You need to be on top of that. We need some daddies who will be caulkers. We need some mamas who will be caulkers. We need some saints who will be caulkers. That if anybody wants to gossip and cut down and criticize, what I got in the revival is too precious to let you get around me and leak it out. Amen. I'm going to caulk your mouth. We don't need gossip. We need to quit criticizing people. I don't know what's going to happen in the election, but we're not going to bring the election in here. We're going to caulk that stuff and say we're gathered under one name, the name of Jesus. We don't want that in here. We're here for Jesus. Come on and give me a big amen. We need some caulkers. Don't you talk about my preacher. Franklin Jensen is a good man. We ought to have each other's back. We ought not to sit down and be okay with hearing what everybody's saying. And it ought to be true with words, and it ought to be true online. I want to tell you something. You need to be careful what you say, and you need to be careful what you listen to. Some of you have some haters on Instagram or on Reddit or whatever, and you need to get you a Holy Ghost caulking gun, and you need to just say, you know what? I'm beautiful. I look good. I don't care what they're saying about me. They may be bringing up my past, but I'm going to caulk it. Hallelujah. And I'm going to say, thanks be unto God. I don't have to give myself to that. Don't listen to it. Don't read it. You're a new creation in Christ. The old things have passed away. Caulk it. Somebody shout and say it's the truth. Turn to somebody and say, you need to caulk what God's given you in this revival. I'm not going to lose it. You can lose the worship if you want to. You can lose the consciousness of God if you want to. Those of you who got touched in this revival, it can just, you'll just seep it out if you let it. But if you get you a good word and you get you some desire, you can caulk it. And you can keep what God gave you. Why don't you praise him right now like you did the third night of the revival? Anybody love the Lord on a Sunday morning and not ashamed? I'm almost done. Nehemiah built the walls of Jerusalem in 52 days. Miracle. Built the walls back in 52 days. Incredible. But then he started noticing there's a lot of stuff coming into this city. This is Jerusalem. This is a holy city. Man, they're bringing everything. They're letting everybody in. And then he said, shut gates. He said, I got a new rule. He said, don't open the gates until the sun gets hot, because I can't see this foggy stuff. There's a mist and there's fog, and we can't tell what we're letting in. So we need to be careful to not just let anything come in. I could see one of those gatekeepers say, well, that little town down the road, they let it get in. He said, well, we're not that little town. We're Jerusalem. We're a holy city. And we're not going to let just anything come in here. I don't care what other churches say it can come into the church now. We're not going to ordain immorality. We're not going to put it in the pulpits. We're not going to be a part of that. I'm not ugly, not mad at anybody. I'm just telling you, we're going to stick with the word of God. We're going to go with what God says. And God, there's no way. And I don't care how big this church gets. I believe the Lord was pleased with this church, because we broke our program and we broke all that. We got Bible college on Monday night. We got school discipleship on Tuesday night. We got Feed the Hungry on Wednesday night and the food lines. And we got Thursday night this, and we got Friday night, and we got small groups. We got youth, young adults. We got, and you know what we did? We just stopped it all. And we said, we have time for you, Jesus, to wreck our world. I don't know. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's a lot of false doctrines and things that are trying to come into the church. A rainbow flag does not belong on a real church that loves Jesus. I love the people. The people can come in, but we're going to caulk that one. We're not going to let that spirit come in to our church. Well, I'm going to withhold my tithe. Well, you wouldn't be the first, and you won't be the last. But boy, I'd rather have what we had in this place during this revival. I've never experienced anything like it. We need some daddies who will caulk the ship. We need some mamas who will caulk the ship. I've been serving the Lord for over 40 years. And I want you to listen to me. I still need to be careful. And that's why I caulk the ship. I don't wait till it gets knee deep. I don't wait till it gets waist deep. When you see things seeping into your life, you better caulk that ship. If you see it seeping into your children's life, do everything you can to caulk that ship and that boat. Stand up. Caulk the boat. These are perilous, serious times. I don't care how beautiful your family is, the enemy would love to kill, steal, and destroy. But if there's somebody that's careful, I guess what I'm trying to say is you still need to be careful. You still need to be at a place where you just are discerning right from wrong and being very conscious of God. We need caulkers. And we'll wait till we know what is right. Getting weak is not the answer, and letting up is not the answer, and backing down is not the answer. The boat will not float if you don't keep a spirit of caulking. Caulk anger. Caulk unforgiveness. Catch it quick. Don't let it simmer for weeks and months and years. Caulk it. Caulk bitterness. Caulk addiction. Caulk anything that's taken over your life, seeping in, starting to change who you are. You better caulk it. That's my sermon. It's real simple. But the ship floats only because there's caulkers down there. This boat needs more than a captain at the wheel. I'm the captain, and I'm under the shepherd, Jesus. But it needs potters who are daily shaping little lives, raising up a new generation. And this church needs desperately, not me with a list of things, a little list of this is going on and that's going on, but you with discernment and the fear and the love of the Lord. Stand in anything you see in your life. You start caulking that area with the Word of God. You sealed it. You know, there's a verse in Ephesians I want to close with. It says, after you've heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, in whom you have believed, you are sealed. Whew. You've been caught with the Holy Spirit of promise. How long has it been since you let the Holy Spirit touch you? How long has it been since you let Him caulk some things that you've gotten loose with? It's not a game in times like these. I think about the young couples in this church. So many of you are struggling, just like Sharice and I have struggled in our marriage from time to time. Especially in the younger years. Especially when our family had something going on. It brings stress from every direction, or the church, and everything would seem to hit at once many times. And I can remember not knowing who to turn to, not knowing what to do. But I can tell you, after 36 years of being with her, that there are potters in this house for your marriage. And there are caulkers in this house who, if you'll listen to them, they're elders, they're wise, they have the counsel of God. And they'll help you seal up some areas where Satan keeps coming in at his own will. And if you'll just let the hands of some of these believers that have been through it, and let them lay their hands on you, and let them pray for you, and let them counsel you, let them shape you, let them mold you into that vessel, and caulk up any of the broken pieces. I'm so glad He's not just the Prince of Peace, He's the Prince of the Pieces. And He says, if you've messed up, I can put it all back together. I've got a plan for your life.
I really want to say thank you for joining us this week. If you haven't already, make sure you click on the subscription button and leave us a review. It helps this podcast reach even more people when you comment, when you give us your feedback. For more messages and inspirational materials, download the Jensen Franklin app, or you can head over to jensenfranklin.org. I want to thank all of you who give generously to help us produce weekly content like this to reach the world with the message of Jesus. God bless you, and we'll see you next time.